The Brooklyn Tabernacle proudly presents the 2017 Thanksgiving Radio Special. Hello and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Ken Lamb, proud to be your host again this year. Yes, we will be hearing music from the Grammy Award-winning Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Choir director Carol Cimbala will tell us about a brand new CD project coming up in 2018. We'll hear an inspirational conversation with a member of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and senior pastor Jim Cimbala will bring a fitting Thanksgiving message. Let's get underway with music from worship leader Freddie Washington and the 300-voice Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. This is Praise Him.
Church, can you clap your hands with us? Come on. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus. Every race, every nation, let's rejoice in the Lord.
Worship leader Freddie Washington and the choir with Praise Him. This is Ken Lamb, delighted to be your host for the 2017 Thanksgiving Radio Special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Right now it's Karen Melendez-Rampersard with the choir and He Loved Me.
When I think of how far I had wandered.
The 2017 Thanksgiving Radio Special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City continues now. Jason Crabb and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir with I'm Amazed.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you show on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free,
We do thank you for joining us for this, our 2017 Thanksgiving radio special. And yes, we are planning to be back here in a couple of weeks with the 2017 Brooklyn Tabernacle Christmas radio special. Just keep listening for promotional announcements supplying the date and time of broadcast. And right here would be a good time to pass along our contact information by mail. The Brooklyn Tabernacle, 17 Smith Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11201. Email radio@brooklyntabernacle.org. Coming right up, Choir Director Carol Cimbala, and we have an inspiring feature about how God changed a life. We'll be right back.
The ministry of the Brooklyn Tabernacle extends well beyond New York City via their website, brooklyntabernacle.org. There, you'll find helpful information about the ministry of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. You can also catch Pastor Jim Cimbala's sermons for online listening or portable use, as well as a daily devotional. You can worship with the congregation of the Brooklyn Tabernacle by watching webcast. It streams the service in its entirety, and it's conveniently available on demand. There's even a mobile app for smartphones and tablets. Also online, you can catch inspirational stories of real people whose lives have been changed by the love of God. Do you need prayer? You can submit your prayer request online, and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Prayer Band will take your request to the throne of grace. BrooklynTabernacle.org online store has books by Jim and Carol Cimbala, all of the choir's CDs and DVDs. There's so much to see at the Brooklyn Tabernacle website, BrooklynTabernacle.org.
The birth of Jesus is central to Christmas. In fact, he is why the holiday is called Christmas. Please help the American Family Association keep Christ in Christmas by ordering and distributing our Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. Share them with friends, family, even total strangers. The AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristband is a fun, inexpensive way to remind folks of the true reason for this sacred season. You can order AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands in sets of 10 at afa.net.
Did you know Operation Christmas Child is not only about evangelism through a simple shoebox gift, but also about discipleship? Millions of children will receive shoebox gifts, and then many will have an opportunity to go through a 12-lesson discipleship course, The Greatest Journey. Operation Christmas Child is able to train teachers, provide all of the materials and a New Testament for only $6 per child. To learn more, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Welcome back to the 2017 Thanksgiving radio special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I'm Ken Lamb. And before we chat with Carol Cimbala, it's soloist Anaje Jefferson and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir with Jesus Is.
Anybody glad you serve a God who's more than enough? Amen? Come on, if he's your everything, I need you to clap your hands. Let's sing and celebrate Jesus in this place.
Strength whenever I am weak, my hope, everything I need is more than life to me. Jesus is my peace, shelter from the storm. He's all my heart is longing for, the one that I adore. Jesus is.
Yeah.
He is the truth.
Joining us now is the Brooklyn Tabernacle's choir director, Carol Cimbala. Earlier this month, the choir had recorded a brand new project. Carol, if you will, take a moment or so here and tell us about it and give us a hint about some of the new songs.
We are so excited. We've just recorded our latest album, and we're just amazed at what God has done. We have so many songs that we know are going to minister to so many people here in the U.S. and around the world. One of the songs that we recorded was You've Been So Good, and I can truly say that God has been good. He has just really supplied all of our needs. There's one song in particular that was recorded years ago by the Hawkins. It's entitled Thank You. And then we have another song, More Than a Conqueror. You know, in Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. And then there's another song, Pleasing. We're singing about pleasing the Lord, wanting to be pleasing before Him. So there's a variety of music, different styles, so many different soloists that are singing on this album, new soloists that have come into the choir who are a real blessing to us. I can say that I don't think in all the years that I've ever worked with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir that I've had a better group to work with. They are so excited about singing for the Lord and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. We're hoping that this project will be released in the spring of 2018, and we know that it will be a blessing to many.
Thanks so much, Carol, for taking the time to tell us about the choir's new project coming in 2018. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving radio special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Before we meet Pastor Jim Cimbala, we've got more music. Title song from the Praise CD. Here's Timony Figueroa and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. This is Pray.
In times of sorrow, seasons of pain, when all seems hopeless, one thing remains. Our God is faithful, and His word is true. He set forth
Pray.
Within each Brooklyn Tabernacle radio special, we take some time to feature one of the members of the church. So, right here, we turn things over to Senior Pastor Jim Cimbala to introduce our special guest.
The story you're about to hear, the story of David Ruffin and how he came to Jesus Christ, is one of the most heartwarming, tender stories I have ever heard, but I guess it's that way because of my deep involvement in it. I met David Ruffin at a moment where I was not really ready to properly represent Jesus Christ. I was tired. I wanted to go home at the end of a long Easter Sunday. And yet here comes this homeless guy walking towards me. I'll never forget that afternoon as long as I live. And then the story unfolds. I learned about the past, and then God gave him a future you won't even believe. You're going to love David Ruffin.
It took some very unfortunate events to take place in my life to bring me to that place where I am today. And those events started way back in 1978 in a Husky, North Carolina, in a little pool room on a Saturday morning. And as the saying goes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, and that can be a step in the right direction or a step in the wrong direction. And unfortunately for me at that time, it would be a step in the wrong direction. That Saturday morning, hanging out with some friends, a brother and a cousin, they teased me and tempted me, but finally I gave in to that temptation, peer pressure, just wanted to fit in. And I took, thinking to myself, okay, I'll have maybe one cup of beer. That first drink, as they say, is not the last one that does the damage, it's the first one. And after I drank that cup of beer and then had another one and maybe another one, and all of a sudden, you know, everything was feeling okay. I saw that weariness lifted, that shyness lifting, and everything started to seem so funny. And I thought, this is not as bad as I thought it would be. And up until that point, I had despised alcohol because I grew up in a family with an alcoholic father. And I hated what I saw happening, how this liquor, booze, was ruining my father's life. As he would get drunk and oftentimes do some very crazy and wild things, dangerous things, it's only the grace of God that he never killed somebody in the family. I swore that I would never grow up to do the things that he was doing. And so I found myself drinking. And I didn't even realize I had a problem with alcohol until another pivotal year in my life. That was 1985, the year that I was introduced to the shelters, the year that I became homeless. Very simple, unsuspecting way, a brother and I living in Brooklyn with some relatives. There was a family dispute. My brother got kicked out. He disappeared for a few weeks, and then he shows up knocking on the door telling me to come and hang out with him. And so I moved into the shelter. I started to drink even more. Being in a shelter, no job, no money, but now I was connected to those city slickers who's gonna teach me how to hustle, how to make a buck now, even though I wasn't working, how to find a way to get that wine money. All I needed, a couple of dollars to get a bottle. I became one of those guys you see panhandling on the street, is begging for loose change just to get that high. And so it's the way I got started in the shelter life. And I would move from shelter to shelter for a couple of years. It's a place that's intended to help people, but it can also be a very dangerous place. A lot of people get robbed, mugged in there, beat up. I know people who lost their life, who died in the shelters. And so it was that fear of living in the shelters that actually drove me away from the shelters. And so I began that lifestyle of living in the streets, abandoned buildings, sleeping on the trains, sidewalks, park benches. I remember many nights just wandering and walking through the streets of New York City. Nothing like being homeless, alone, afraid, no place to go. After a while, that lifestyle began to take its toll. My body, my mind, my emotions began to feel sick all the time. Headaches, even started to have alcoholic seizures. So it's like being in a trap, caught in a rock in a hard place, and being in a dangerous situation, people dying all around you. I became desperate. I wanted out. When you're in a situation that is beyond your control, the alcoholism was now driving my life. That addiction said, no, you got to take care of me first. Then you can go out and eat. Then you can go to sleep. I remember going to sleep and waking up in the middle of the night, sick, tired, hungry, and broke. Something happened. Because on this night, God opened my eyes and allowed me to see what I had become. This young man with so much promise, abilities, wasting away in the streets of Brooklyn. My home was an abandoned dump yard, a place that was crawling with rats. It was disgusting. And as I thought about how I was hurting, and I just broke, and I just found myself sobbing, weeping, uncontrollable. And I began to cry out to God, Lord, if you're real, if there is a God, I need you. Because I can't do this any longer. I have been brought to a place of such desperation and pain. I realized that unless God intervened, I knew I was going to die out in the streets. And it wasn't long that I came to the Brooklyn Tabernacle, where I would hustle during the day, and at the end of my route, I would sit on the steps of the old Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I would just sit there and relax, maybe sip on my wine, maybe not take a nap, just rest. I remember some of the folks from the church would come to me after I got saved and say, yeah, we remember you when you were out there. We would come out the back and talk to you. We would give you sandwiches. And I never forget one young lady said, and we were praying for you. I'm glad they remembered me because I was so full of Thunderbird, I have no idea what was going on back there. And I had been to the church maybe once or twice before. Been to altar calls, went back into my situation, back into hopelessness. But on Easter Sunday, 1991, because God had so worked into my heart that I already knew that if I ended up in church somewhere, if I had an opportunity to give my heart to the Lord, that I was gonna take it. I didn't have anybody whispering in my ear. That was the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus. He was calling me. I heard that voice. I never forget it. And I could hear the people worshiping God and praising Him and singing and celebrating. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, this is what I need. This is life. There's joy in there. There's hope. And I remember Roberta Langella was sharing her testimony. God rest her soul. And God used her in a powerful way that day. And as she spoke, I came under that conviction that if God could do that for her, I know He can do it for me. When Pastor Simler gave the altar call, I came forward. I met Pastor Simler at the altar. We talked, we prayed. And then Pastor, she offered me some money. That's when I came out with the conviction, Pastor, I don't want your money. That's not what I'm here for. I need this Jesus that you're talking about because I'm gonna die. You know, I left the church that night with a sense of hope. Didn't know what was gonna happen, but I just had the peace of God in my heart that this nightmare that I had been living for nearly 6 years was coming to an end. And I can tell you the Lord has been so gracious. He's been so good to me. It's such a wonderful thing to see what God continues to do in my life and in our family, how He can restart your life, how He can restore those things that has been taken from you, how He can remove those walls and barriers that hold you down, hold you back. I hope that somehow today the Lord will use this story, my life, to speak to your hearts, to let you know there is a God who is able and He wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask of Him.
You're listening to the Thanksgiving radio special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Pastor Simbola, please take a few more moments to give us a preview of your upcoming Thanksgiving message.
We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, but from an angle that most of us don't think about on a daily basis. And yet, according to the scriptures, it's one of the greatest blessings that God has ever given us. And it's something that we should praise Him and be thankful for every day of our lives.
Thank you, Pastor. We'll get back to you shortly for your Thanksgiving message. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving radio special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. This is Ken Lay. I'm happy to be your host again this year. Coming up, Pastor Jim Simbola's Thanksgiving message and much more music from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. We'll be right back.
What does a Wall Street broker, a party girl, a religious extremist, a drug addict, and a hardened thug have in common? Their lives were spinning out of control, and their futures were very dark, dismal, and bleak. Each had a reason to despair. Each had a hidden wound that wouldn't heal, until something unexpected happened, something that changed their lives forever. The Brooklyn Tabernacle presents The Rescue, book and DVD. The Rescue tells the incredible but true stories of people who found themselves in hopeless situations. It powerfully conveys their feelings of human pain and misery as each of them struggled to find a way out. With its message of love and redemption, The Rescue is inspiring readers and viewers to believe there is an answer in the face of seemingly impossible circumstances. To find more information about this encouraging book and DVD, visit the Brooklyn Tabernacle website at brooklyntabernacle.org.
You know that millions of children around the world will receive shoebox gifts this year through Operation Christmas Child. But it doesn't stop there. Many of these children will have an opportunity to go through a 12-lesson discipleship course, The Greatest Journey. Operation Christmas Child is able to train teachers, provide a New Testament, and all of the materials for only $6 per child. To learn more, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. That's samaritanspurse.org/OCC.
In simpler times, we could say Christmas in the classroom.
All right, children, now divide the word Christmas into syllables.
Hey, the first part is Christ.
That's correct.
The American Family Association wants to keep Christ in Christmas, and one way we're doing that is the Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. Encourage your friends, family, and church with this fun, inexpensive reminder. Order AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands in sets of 10 at afa.net.
We are back, and joining us now, the senior pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Jim Cimbala, with today's message.
Thanksgiving is a holiday in America, but it's something the Bible talks about almost on every page. The Bible is always telling us that it's proper to give thanks to God, not to live grumbling, complaining lives, but to count our blessings instead of our problems, and to be giving God thanks from our heart. To do it vocally is the best way, but to live with a spirit of gratitude all day long, in a world where everybody is angry or complaining about something, it seems. You know, there's an epidemic of anger all across our country. And the great antidote for that, for we believers, is a spirit of gratitude. You can't be happy and thankful and be angry at the same time. Are there things in life that are negative? Do we see things in our society that are wrong? Yes, but the Bible tells us that's the way it will always be, until Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. So until then, whatever we go through, over mountains or through valleys, we're to have a spirit of thanksgiving. One passage says in the New Testament, in everything give thanks. Not just in the good times, but in the bad times. Because there's always things to be thankful for. You know the old saying, I cried when I had no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. Whatever we go through, trust me, if you would just travel with me around the world, as I have often done over the last 10 or more years, you'll see situations that are so heartbreaking that you would just say, what am I doing? But I should be jumping for joy. I should be jumping for joy, all the blessings God has given me. And right here in New York City, where I pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, I observe things and meet people every single week and month of my life. The situations are so heartrending, so difficult. It just reminds me always, Jim, give thanks. Give thanks to God for his blessings. But I want to give you one now, no matter what your situation is or how long you've been a Christian, that I think will help you to have that spirit of thanksgiving. In a very complicated chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, there's a sentence that seems like to go on forever. As Paul the Apostle is writing to believers and telling them about their salvation, how God brought it about. He goes way back into eternity, the predestination of God for believers, and so on and so forth. And then he says this, and you also, verse 13, were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. See, just even that sentence is convoluted, isn't it? Very hard to follow. Let me read it from the Good News Bible. And it says, you believed in Christ and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee or the deposit that we shall receive what God has promised his people. And this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. So we learn that when a person puts their faith in Christ, they hear the gospel, they hear about God's love for people, a world, breaking his commandments seemingly every minute and not wanting God, rebelling against God. And yet God in his love won't just throw them away or send immediate judgment on them. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only unique son, Jesus Christ, so that those who put their trust in him, who realize that he died for their sins on the cross, he bore our punishment. Oh, you want to talk about Thanksgiving? How about this? He bore our punishment, the punishment due you and me for our many, many, many sins. He took all of that pain and punishment. The justice of God was meted out to him as our substitute. He was our substitute. He had no sins to die for. But he hung on the cross and suffered in some way we can't even fully comprehend, the wrath of God poured out on him so that we would only know the peace and the acceptance with God and the blessing of God. So now we're born again, the Bible says. What makes a person a Christian is that they're born again and the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. In the early church, that was the only real definition of a Christian. A Christian was someone who had been born again and the Spirit of God lived in him. If the Spirit of God had not come in and entered into his life and settled within him, then that person wasn't a Christian. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it says in the book of Romans, that person, man or woman, does not belong to Christ. So it's the seal, it's the guarantee, it's the down payment. Now we learn in Ephesians 1 of this salvation that God has for us and the blessings that are waiting for us. So when the Spirit of God, notice it's a he, not an it, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within Jim Cimbala, he not only changes my life progressively as I learn to walk in the Spirit and trust him to give me empowerment to break all the sinful habits that come to me naturally, all the self-seeking, all the self-gratification that's in all of us. The only thing that can break that is the power of the Holy Spirit who now lives inside of us. But Paul points out it's not just this power of God to change us and make us become like Christ. He says in another aspect, it's the down payment. So you go to buy a house and you put down some money when you sign the contract or just a deposit to get the thing moving. Is that all the money you're going to give them? No, but that shows them that you're going to move ahead in good faith. Then comes the contract, the final closing on the house. And the bank demands and the owner wants to know, so what's your down payment? I need payment in full, but what's your down payment? And the bank is interested in that. It's not the full amount of down payment, but whether you're buying whatever you're buying, it's the proof that I'm in earnest about this. This is guaranteed. Here's my down payment. The rest is to come later. That's who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. He's the down payment of a salvation that we already have, but yet it hasn't come yet. Isn't that amazing? You want to be thankful? The best is yet to come. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is only the down payment. Whatever joy, whatever peace, whatever blessing you've ever received from God, it's only the down payment. The glory that's waiting for us is incomprehensible. And the down payment of the Holy Spirit is to, shall we say, whet our appetite and cause us to have hope and a thankful spirit. Wow, the best is yet to come. Now, I've had some wonderful experiences with the Lord, like the Bible describes, joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that passes all understanding. And yet here we know that all of those blessings coming from the Holy Spirit are only the down payment. What's waiting for you and I, when Christ returns or whether we die first, is the full payment. God's given us just a taste of the glory that's waiting for us. So be encouraged today. Not only be encouraged, be thankful. Because everyone who lives for the things of this world, when they die and life is over, they lose everything. You know the old saying about a rich person, oh, I heard that guy died, that real wealthy person. What did he leave? Everything. Whether it's a million, half a million, or 10 billion, when you die, you leave everything, but not the believer. No, no, we don't lose and leave anything behind except those superficial things that are part of the material world that we live in. No, no, our real blessings are yet to come. And the Holy Spirit keeps telling us every day, I'm only giving you the deposit of what God has waiting for you. Father God, I pray that everyone listening to me will begin to thank you today for what's yet to come. We thank you for blessings we've already received. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the blood that was shed so that our sins would be forgiven. But we thank you today for not only the Holy Spirit living in us, but for the guarantee that he is only a down payment. What we experience is just a taste, a little percentage, a tiny portion of that which is waiting for us. We can't even imagine it. But we thank you for your love for us and the glory that you have reserved for us for all eternity. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Cimbala. And now here's the 300 voice, 6-time Grammy Award winning Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir under the direction of Carol Cimbala. This is In Everything We Give Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us for the 2017 Thanksgiving radio special from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. We hope you enjoyed listening. Here's our mailing address, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, 17 Smith Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11201. By email, radio@brooklyntabernacle.org. And you're invited to visit the Brooklyn Tabernacle website There you'll find a complete rundown of resources, including CDs, sheet music, DVDs, books, and Pastor Cymbalist's daily devotional. And you can watch the Sunday service in its entirety. The weekly video includes the worship, special music, and the message. Check it out on the web at brooklyntabernacle.org. You're invited to worship with us Sundays at 9, 11, and 1. The choir sings at all three services. If your holiday travel plans include New York City, plan to join us for our special Christmas presentation. Dates and times are listed on the web at brooklyntabernacle.org. The executive producers, Jim and Carol Cymbala, recording engineer Michael Archibald, station relations Alexandria Fuentes, digital editing and script by Dave Henson, and I'm Ken Lamb. A reminder, we'll all be back next month with the 2017 Brooklyn Tabernacle Christmas Radio Special, airing on great radio stations like this one. Now, with a closing thought, once again, here's Pastor Cymbala.
On behalf of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in downtown Brooklyn, my wife Carol, myself, Pastor Jim Cymbala, we want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And I pray that, remembering what I talked about, that the Holy Spirit is only the little down payment of what's waiting for us, will give you a happy, joyful, thankful spirit in your heart, not just for Thanksgiving, but every day as we await the full payment of what Christ purchased for us. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving Day.